This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 200. We made it. I don't know how, but we made it. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a long one. It's going to be a good one. And it's a little weird because it's Labor Day weekend here in the States, and there's like nobody in my office, and it's eerily quiet. And Andrew, there's a woman behind you. Look out. That'd be a lot funnier if she could hear you. Andrew Martinick in Seattle, everybody.
Hello. How's it going?
It's going okay. Oh, she saw us.
That was like kind of an awkward look.
from us or from her?
From her.
Oh, well.
Give her. That's Mario. She's hanging out.
Jerry Hildenbrand in West Virginia.
Howdy. I have nobody behind me. No one to love.
Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
If it is your first time joining us, this is, in fact, the official episode 200. Keep making a big deal about that just because I feel like it. But, you know, it's kind of another show. if it's your first time joining us, welcome. Thank you. Glad to have you. If it's your 200th time, damn. We've been doing this a while, haven't we? It was cool. Did you see the little trailer video we threw together real quick?
I did. I was in it.
I feel like we should do more with that. It was just kind of sitting on Google Plus, which is fine. But it was nice to see Mickey again, Mickey Papillon, who used to do a whole bunch of podcasts with us, actually. And if you haven't listened to the Cell Phone Junkie podcast, you should. But it was good to see Mickey again. He's doing all right, it seems. So I don't want to waste too much time. We got a buttload of stuff to talk about. Should we just jump into it?
Let's jump in. Let's start with...
Let's preface it, because we have like 2 weeks of hell, and we're just going to... Well, I say hell. It's 2 weeks of pure Android fun! That needs to be somebody's ringtone, by the way. So I guess we're going to mainly focus on week one, and I say that as a reminder to myself as much as anything, because I've been getting totally confused about where I'm going and what we're doing over the next couple of weeks. So where do you want to start?
Well, I was looking at the script. I was going to go with all the Samsung stuff.
Okay, let's do
the
that.
Galaxy Note 4.
And Samsung is part of the IFA conference that you're going to in Berlin. So let's give like the top-down view. So we have IFA in Berlin with companion events for Samsung in New York where Andrew and I will be. And where's the other one? Beijing?
Beijing. So they have... I guess they've had satellite events before, but nothing billed as a three-city event. So I get the impression that the main event is still in Berlin because that's always a big deal for Samsung. They get the big event venue out there, the Tempodrome. But just as big a deal, the event in New York where you guys will be.
Yes. And then we have the next day for Andrew and I, we have Motorola in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we'll talk more about that in a second. And is that it for next week?
It seems I think that's it. There is other stuff. But,
well, yes.
Yeah. The rest of IFA then happens.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see what else happens next week, Phil.
Okay. And then the week after, we have CTIA in Las Vegas. So if I start talking about Vegas, that's what I'm talking about. And in the middle of all that, we have, is it next week? We have the iPhone event.
In the middle of CTIA.
iMore has it. That's super important. In fact, we ought to talk a little bit about that, I think. So, all right, so I think that's like the lay of the land. So with that, Alex, Samsung.
Samsung, they've actually been kind of, I mean, I guess it's not just one device that we know we're getting now. There was an announcement this week about a watch as well. We'll get to that in time. We know the Note 4 is coming. They've said explicitly in ads, hey, the Note 4 is coming. Not too much of a surprise. They've done Note 1, 2, and 3 at this event at the same time of year. As to what's actually coming, I mean, we've had rumored specs and stuff, but we really don't know much more about features, and Samsung is all about the features. So the rumored, the couple of rumored things we have are maybe some sort of iris scanner, which has been rumored since, for years going in Samsung products, an IR, a UV sensor even. So not sure how useful that would be, but there you go. And presumably some new S Pen stuff as well. That's always been a big part of that series. And with Samsung moving now to more metal-based designs with the Alpha, the Galaxy Alpha, people are starting to finally hope that maybe we'll get this long-rumored you know, a major smartphone in one of the established Samsung series with a metal design as well. You can imagine how nice a metal banded Note might look.
I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other side of that is the Note is a very big device. You make a big device out of metal, it becomes very heavy. Look at the HTC One Max last year. That was a very heavy phone. We'll have to wait and see. But obviously, the Note is a big deal. A lot of people buy Note devices now. It's very squarely a mainstream device. And yeah, it's we're going to have to wait and see what the big thing is this time.
What's the more important thing to you at this point? A new Note, or a new watch, or this rumored VR headset thing?
The Note has to be the biggest portion of this. Anything extra would be, you know, just trying to sell more Notes.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, the Note series has always been that kind of TikTok thing for Samsung, where they had the Galaxy S, and then later in the year, the Galaxy Note. I think the Note has always been, the Note's devices have always been the better devices for Samsung. We talked about maybe the past few generations of Galaxy S phones. They're good, but there is other better stuff out there. I think Samsung is still on top of the competition to a large degree with the this you know, phablet-type device or large form factor phone, whatever you want to call it. It's still tough to come up with another manufacturer that does that better than Samsung. So, yeah, that is their real area of strength. And coming out of a quarter where they've maybe had a bit of a rough time, then this is going to be a big deal for them.
I'm more excited about what might be inside the Note 4.
Was that?
This is a good time in the world for new chip design. Everybody's moving to a new version of the architecture and 64-bit, and Samsung makes a lot of chips and know a lot about making them. So I know what's rumored and everything, but I'm going to be glued.
Let's go over what's rumored. I mean, like most Samsung phones, you have two versions, right? There's a Snapdragon version, which is the 805. We've seen that before in the LG G3 Cat 6 and the Galaxy S5 Broadband LTE-A, which are both Korea-only phones. So this is probably going to be one of the first mainstream phones to have the 805. And, you know, kind of more of the same of what we've seen from Qualcomm in the past, just with a beefier GPU for handling higher screen res. But I think what Jerry's getting excited about is this rumored Exynos. I forget the number. It's 5433 or something like that.
I think
it is supposedly an octa-core A57 plus A53 arrangement. So you have four of the higher performance 64-bit ARM cores, if you like, and four of the low performance ones in the Big Little arrangement. And that it would probably be the first high-end 64-bit in quotes.
All right, wait. Stop. Give people like the two-sentence version of what Big Little is.
An efficient CPU for when you need power efficiency, a fast CPU for when you need a fast CPU.
Thank you.
Basically.
Is that different than what NVIDIA was doing with its 4+1 and
no.
Same sort of thing? Okay.
Yeah, something very similar. I mean, you just have more cores. It's just a different arrangement of them. The other news this week was HTC has kind of a 64-bit phone. The hardware is 64-bit. They're using a Snapdragon 410, which is four A53s. But of course, whatever is in the hardware, the software is still KitKat. It's still 32-bit Android. So,
and to be clear, HTC is not positioning it as a
64-bit phone. No, absolutely at all. The only people positioning it as a 64-bit phone are tech bloggers.
Yes, and they need to stop that.
It's a really low-end phone at that. So,
I mean, the chip is interesting, and I think Jerry could probably explain more about this than I can. But the interesting thing about the chip is the new ARM V8 architecture, the ARM 64 stuff.
Android is not now, and probably not in the next version, using the things that you need a 64-bit chip to do. The same reason Apple moved to 64-bit when they did. Maybe the next version will use these long integers and, you know, cache larger pieces of data. Right now they're not doing it, but the ARM V8 architecture is incredible performance and power management improvements to the entire, you know, to the chip, and that's what we should get excited about.
For everybody at home who is completely and totally lost and has no idea what the hell they've been talking about for the past 5 minutes.
Wipe the drool off your face for a second.
I'm right there with you guys. It's okay.
Well, no, now is the time where the next generation
of chips are starting to get made. We've heard about them all summer long. The next version is going to be 64-bit, which is a huge buzzword, and everybody thinks, you know, whatever they think about it, it's not really as important as everybody wants to make it out to be. But there are important changes coming in other ways that we should look forward to that are going to make our phones do things better and faster and use less battery while they do it.
Yep.
There you go.
That I understand. Will it benchmark faster?
Everything will work faster. Everything.
Yeah.
Did you see got delisted on benchmarks this week, so I'm just like, benchmarks.
I mean, what you got to remember is benchmarks won't necessarily be optimized for the new architecture or anything right out of the bat. So if you see benchmarks for any ARMv8, you know, any supposedly 64-bit CPU, bear in mind that.
Fair enough.
So,
all right, what else?
I guess we covered about as much as we know about the Note 4. I mean, Samsung is pretty good at preventing. I mean, they're pretty good at preventing leaks until leaks happen, but generally, notes don't leak out in any meaningful way. So we'll have to wait and see what's big there and the software and the features. But the other thing that got announced this week was a new Tizen watch, a curved watch, the Gear S, and that's kind of interesting.
By the way, and I just want to say this out loud to hear myself say it out loud, this thing got announced literally like 3 minutes after another company officially showed off its brand new watch. I'm just saying.
With a press release. And by the way, this is at 9 p.m.
Pacific. Well played, Samsung. Well played. All right, continue.
So it's another Tizen watch from Samsung. It's going to be the fifth or sixth watch in the past year.
Sixth. Gear 2, Gear 2 Neo, Gear Fit, Gear Live, Gear S. That's six. I ran out of fingers on this hand.
Running three different operating systems.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think about the fact that this is essentially a standalone smartwatch? This is the first mainstream smartwatch that we're seeing, or mainstream from a big manufacturer, right, that has a slot for a SIM card that you can use away from your phone.
I've actually used a watch with a SIM card that you could make calls. They suck. They're horrible.
Why?
I hope Sam's, because you can't hear. They can't hear. Nobody can hear you. You look like a total tool in public. Playing Maxwell Smart talking to your wrist. It was a bad experience to me all around. I did not like it at all. I'm hoping Samsung can improve at least the mechanics, make it so I can hear better. You know, a speaker sitting on the back of the watch against your wrist sucks. And a microphone where you have to turn you and talk funny like this into it. I hope Samsung can fix that part of it.
What do you think of the design of this thing? I mean, it's the first properly, well, I guess you could count the Gear Fit, but it's the first full-sized watch that's using this
curved display. Curved display.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
It looks big. It looks really big.
It's kind of like a bracelet style because it's so wide all the way around.
It almost reminds me of some of the concepts that people were doing ages ago, back when people were first starting to get a bit excited about smartwatches, of what an Apple Watch might look like. A futuristic...
A small phone that's curved and attached to a wristband.
And that's very much the route that Samsung's going. Google is having this slave to your phone. You know, very notification centric. Apps run on the phone, but apps run on the watch. But you still have to use voice activation to get to stuff, and you know, you still load apps from the phone. Looks like Samsung's going a completely different route with just having a standalone device that you can do everything from make calls on to, you know, it's actually a little keyboard and you can text from it. And I don't know. I'm not sure that's what I personally want from a watch. I don't know if there is a market for people who want to have something that's just a smartphone on their wrist.
I think you still have to get over the biggest hurdle for a lot of people is getting over the, $15 or $20 separate plan that you're going to have a 2-gig data bucket and voice minutes and SMS on your watch that's completely separate, and it's a different phone number from your phone, different data plan, different text messages, everything. Mm-hmm. It just, the logistical problems with that seem...
Well, not necessarily not necessarily a different data plan, because everybody has switched to these.
It could be a shared data plan, sure.
Yeah, but well, I mean, they're still going to charge you an extra 10, 20
bucks. It's going to be a different line.
What's that watch that just came out on AT&T that does require a separate plan?
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Is it one of those kids ones?
No, it was... I want to say Garmin, but I think that's wrong. It wasn't anything to do with Android, but it was a smartwatch that just came out.
Oh, it's a Casio, I think.
Yes, there you go. And AT&T requires you to... You get it free for a year, and then you're required to pay a monthly charge, and it's not only like $7, but it's a separate plan.
And how often is your watch and phone, you know, separated by enough of a distance that, you know, for a long period of time where you need your phone to operate, you know, or your watch to operate independently and make calls and things like that?
I keep thinking, like, all right, I mean, I don't care. Like, watches just, they're cool. I'm still wearing one. But, like, the mainstream's not picking them up yet. They're just not, right? But Samsung I think they're just being Samsung. They're going to do this. They're going to lead in that space, even if there's nobody coming to it.
Yep.
And they're
right,
fine.
You want a watch with a SIM card? Here you go. You want one without? Here you go. You want a fitness one? Here you go.
Which is how we end Samsung up with for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting strategy, I think.
The shotgun approach. You just make everything you can afford to make, and eventually a Note series will come along, and it'll just be huge, and you'll reap all the rewards from it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's the kind of user I am. I don't see the appeal of that kind of watch. If I'm wearing a watch, I always have my phone with me anyway. I don't want something that does the same thing as the screen that's in my pocket. I don't want another rectangle that I wear that does the same thing. I want an easy way to see important stuff. And that's, yeah, it's what the Pebble does. It's to a certain degree what Android Wear does. But I don't know. It's just not the right fit for me, I don't think.
I've always worn a watch, and I agree. I want a fusion of Android Wear and the Pebble. I want them each to work towards the other, and eventually there'll be a smartwatch that I really, really like and not just use because it's kind of neat.
That it's teasing, does that make it a non-starter for... And I think we have to ask this question twice. Does it make a non-starter for you, or does it make it a non-starter for everybody?
I mean, considering how limited the number of apps are and how specific the apps have to be to run on that watch, I don't think it makes any difference, or it shouldn't make a difference for anybody else. I mean, this is supposed to be a standalone watch, and it's a 2-inch screen. You know, you're not trying to build off of what's available in Google Play now.
I think Tizen makes it better. It's completely open source. That's the me part. For everybody else, why do you care what operating system your watch runs? As long as it does what you need it to do, you really shouldn't be worried about that.
It'd be different if we were talking about it. Maybe, you know, the difference between it running Tizen and running Android Wear, you know, that's different. But the way that they did Android on the original Gear doesn't make any notable difference between that and Tizen. If it's just going to be running as basically a really small phone, it doesn't matter.
What about, and this is kind of a big deal, Nokia bringing its Hear Maps to the Gear S. Nokia's always had the Tizen phone. Yeah.
They're bringing it to Galaxy phones, aren't they? Through an exclusivity deal was announced this morning.
Yep.
Android Galaxy phones. Let's just throw that out there. Are you saying yes?
The only Galaxy phones there are Android Galaxy phones.
Right. But I just wanted to let's say that right up front. That's Nokia Hear Maps on Android as long as it's a Samsung phone.
Yeah. Well, we saw that they were happy to license it to Amazon for their Android devices.
Let's remember that Samsung sells a lot of phones in countries where Google services aren't available.
Right. And now, is that Microsoft Nokia or Nokia Nokia?
I think it's Nokia. The part that Microsoft didn't buy.
See, that makes more sense because that's a money-making opportunity with no competition.
Does it mean we once again have to have the conversation that Samsung is ready to do all sorts of stuff without Google? Or is the answer what Jerry just said? Samsung already has to do a lot of stuff without Google for other countries.
I think it's both. I mean, if you're Samsung, you'd be stupid not to have a backup plan that if your relationship with Google became so bad that you didn't want to use Android anymore, that you could do your own thing. And of course, they're already selling a bunch of phones in China where Google services aren't as easy to use. And yeah, it makes sense to have a really solid mapping.
And Nokia is happy to license HERE maps, which are pretty good. And, you know, Samsung is not going to be able to build their own map database in, you know, in a, even a couple of years. It takes a long time. There are only a couple companies that have immense mapping data, like Nokia. I mean, it's Nokia, Google, and Apple. You know, they're kind of the three big ones there. And, you know, Samsung's not going to license it from Apple, and they already license it from Google when they can.
I think it's easy to pick up on.
Go ahead.
I think it's easy to pick up on a story like this and draw a lot of conclusions from it. But I think the main advantage of Samsung is just purely a practical one. They have new watch products. If you're building a watch in a way that it's basically just a little smartphone, what you need on a watch, well, mapping is one of the big things, especially if you have, you know, location sensors and cellular data and all this other stuff. And yeah, of course, they would want a backup for you know, places where they can't use Google services.
Now back to what Phil originally said. Every time that comes up, Samsung is going to move away from Android. I can't help but think of two things. The first thing is Samsung is only going to move towards things that make more money for Samsung. They know how to make money. They proved that in the Android space. They found a way to make money when nobody else can. Let's be honest, nobody else is making it. Samsung is making it all. And the day that Samsung drops Android and no longer has Google Play with a million plus apps, LG is your new Android smartphone leader the very next quarter. Sorry, guys. Samsung needs Google the same way that Google needs Samsung. It is a very symbiotic relationship.
Completely agree.
Yep. So shall we move on to the other watch this week, the LG G Watch R?
Yes!
So this is a nice-looking watch. It's the first Android Wear watch that, I mean, maybe the slight exception of the 360, I think the 360 still looks very smartwatchy. This looks very much like a traditional watch. It's a nice-looking, you know, metallic, watchy-looking watch, if you want to say. I mean, it's...
They definitely put the right watch face on there to put off that vibe, too. You know, they didn't put a digital watch face on it.
You don't necessarily know how that's going to look when you're limited to a 320 by 320 display, but you know, from what you can see so far, it looks nice. You could wear that in a way that, you know, in situations where you wouldn't be able to wear the original G Watch. You know, it's a watch and not just a rectangle on your wrist.
Sorry, but no ambient light sensor, it's dead to me. I've got two here without an ambient light sensor, and the next watch I buy is not going to be without one.
Do we know for sure it doesn't have one?
There's nowhere for one to be, and it's not listed in the specs. I'm going to go out on a limb and say no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have to say, I think, I mean, there are a couple of reasons why I would probably still go for the 360 over this, as nice as it looks. Jerry's already mentioned one, the ambient light sensor. It's, even with third-party apps, it's just really inconvenient to change the brightness sensor wherever you go. And just the timing of this thing, it's looking very much like the Moto 360 is going to be out in the next week or two, whereas you're waiting until Q4, probably at the Android L release for the G Watch R.
Which may make me eat my words. It may come with something spectacular that required Android L, and I'm going to say, remember when I said no to the G R watch? I was wrong. I'm buying one.
We've seen a lot of, I hate saying butthurt. I hate that phrase, but that's kind of what it was in this case, from people complaining that, well, wait a minute, I was just in love with the Moto 360, and now there's this thing, and it's really awesome. And
Wait, you're telling me that two different companies made two different products to compete against each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we didn't know there were more, you know, watches coming, and we still know there are more watches coming. Fossil's getting into it. Asus is bringing something in next week at IFA. Yeah.
And I will say, and this is not something... I usually tell you, if you see something you want and you can afford it, buy it and enjoy it. But if this new LG watch catches your eye because it's got a nice, sporty, traditional look, wait until you see what Fossil brings out.
Yep.
That's what they do best, is make watches that look just like that, maybe even a little classier or a little more sporty. That's their niche. Wait and see.
And Fossil can definitely handle making multiple models that cover a whole range of, you know, styles and price points and everything like that, especially if the internals are pretty standard, the software is pretty standard. You know, Fossil obviously isn't going to be the greatest at that part, but they're going to have the design.
And there's a chance they can end up with a Android Wear device in every Macy's or Belk or, you know, high upscale box store in the country.
Places you would just never see a Moto 360.
Right.
And there's still the matter of software. I thought, I think it was Kevin Toeffel at GigaOM who did a good piece this week, you know, reminding us that it's not all about the hardware, right? I mean, there's still this software side of it that's still kind of just very first gen and is going to get much better at some point. I think we're not going to see the G-Watch R until probably L in whatever. I know nothing. This is just me guessing, but I have a feeling we're not going to see any huge feature increase until the L release for all this.
I mean, you talk about hardware and software. The hardware is the thing that that manufacturers can improve now. Software, right. You have to wait on Google because it's their sandbox. You have to play by their rules if you want to go with Android Wear. But if you're a manufacturer, you just have basically the freedom to make it look and function on the hardware side pretty much however you want. And that's something that we could see improvements in the original first generation, and you know, we are seeing now.
Nothing we haven't said before.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Flava Flav 9-inch model.
Somebody totally has to do that. Oh, my God. Yes. If they don't, I'll make Kevin Michalik do it. All you Crackberry people out there, we know you're
just
there.
Just wait for the Porsche design one. Kevin will be all over that.
So what do you think about the fact that this is coming out 2 months after the original G-Watch? Because there's a lot of sort of controversy about that as well.
I'm fine with that. Why not?
Say it again. Butthurt.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is that, but it depends what it's priced at and where, how they adjust the original G-Watch, I guess. You'd imagine it maybe being knocked down to sort of a budget level smartwatch and then you'd have this at the higher end.
I mean, nobody could have bought the original G-Watch thinking that that was the pinnacle of what LG could offer in smartwatch in 2014.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you could be forgiven for thinking that maybe they wouldn't. Yeah, you know, that was just the LG watch for this year. I don't know. It's not a question with an easy answer. But I think if you go back to the sort of relationship with Google, you get the impression, like I was saying before, that the G watch is the watch they made for Google. The G watch R is the LG watch that they wanted to make all along. And that doesn't make it any better for people who bought the first one, but you can kind of maybe see why things are the way they are.
I can never understand why people get upset over more and better choices. I'm sorry if you just went out last week and spent $180, $199, whatever they are, on the G-Watch, and now you see this new one and wish you hadn't spent your money. But the G-Watch is still going to do everything that you liked it when you paid for it, so use it, enjoy it. You can't start petitions and stuff because a company brings out a new product. That's what these companies are supposed to do.
And I don't think that we need to assume that watches are going to follow the same yearly or, you know, almost yearly release cycle that phones are. There's just not the development time involved there.
So that's kind of an interesting question in itself. What kind of release cycle do you think it'll eventually fall into? Because you're not necessarily limited by the yearly hardware cycles the way you are with smartphones, right? It's more about things like design and software stuff. So
if these companies are smart, they'll have 4 or 5 major releases every year, like a watch company does, not like a phone company. And it's all about the style, the design. You know, eventually have a catalog with 100 different devices in it, and you have one that everybody likes the way it looks. That's how mid-grade fashion sports watch companies do it. They have X number of designs, and there's something there for everyone.
Completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we've been saying this for a while, and it's kind of happening, right? So I wouldn't apologize for it.
Right. Just don't get mad when it happens, because that's a good thing. That means you may have spent money on the watch you don't like as much as the new one this time. But next time you'll know that you've got all these choices and newer choices are always coming. So just roll with it.
It's cool. What else? Oh, well, all right. Yeah, I guess we did kind of mention Motorola. Motorola on Wednesday.
Thursday?
Wednesday?
I think it's on Thursday.
Thursday. Before. Motorola on Thursday. See, I told you, there's a lot going on. Motorola on Thursday, don't really have, like, I don't know if they're doing, like, an event. I don't know if we'll be live blogging anything, if there's anything being streamed. It doesn't sound like it from what I know so far. I don't know if, you know, they're going to hand us stuff and send us on our way.
With, you know, everybody in the crowd.
Yeah, so we'll just kind of see. I mean, that said, we've seen the watch. We've used the watch. I kind of know what we're getting into as far as that's concerned. So for me, kind of the bigger stuff is going to be the phone. I think.
Yeah, don't let the Moto 360 overshadow the fact that we could be seeing the next Moto X as well, which is
Moto G.
Should be, you know, it's a huge deal.
Pretty much a given, right? I mean, we've seen enough leaked pictures. We know it's out there. Somebody was pinging us on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, said he saw one on the train in Chicago, I think it was. You know, definitely a little bigger. So we'll see. There's that. I mean, I tell you what I'm excited about, and I think I've mentioned this before too, is just what Motorola's done with software. Like the hardware, we have a pretty good idea, and for the most part, these days, a phone's a phone, unless you do something really different, like boom sound, or, I don't know, the fingerprint scanner, or the GS5. But really, what they've done with software, I think, is what has impressed me the most in the past year with Motorola. Between updates, you know, the speed of updates, incredible, and just how much they've been able to add in without doing too much.
Right, and to me, I like the bare bones approach, the bare bones look. But I thought since day one with the Moto X, if they only had a way you could theme this launcher and these icons, and the rumor of a Motorola theme store on top of the mostly stock version of Android with a few nice functions added in, I think that's going to be a really great thing for a lot of people that would not have otherwise looked, because to a lot of people, plain KitKat looks ugly. They want what Samsung and LG can offer. We may shudder at that thought, but a lot of people out there think differently.
So there's that.
Well, I've just been wanting to talk about that for 2 weeks, and I keep forgetting.
we've seen go through the FCC this new version of Motorola Skip. Moto Skip, the little, this time it'll be a dongle maybe, that you stick in your keychain and have it close to you to keep your phone unlocked with trusted Bluetooth. Cool.
Much better than that thing that clips on your pants pocket.
God, yeah, I don't even know what happened to mine.
Little suede magnetic clip.
Nice
to the refrigerator.
I saw Droid Life did a post today. Looks like there's some sort of speaker thing that just went through the FCC as well. Cool, I guess. There's a lot coming from Moto. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. It's a neat success story too. I hope with Lenovo's financial backing, Motorola can pull it back off again. They're a great company and have been around ever since I started playing with soldering irons. And I was very sad for a while thinking that they were going to die. So this could be their resurgence, and that makes me happy.
And you know what? The Lenovo thing still isn't done.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know quite enough as the businessy stuff, but
I mean, that could well be part of the announcement on the 4th. Who knows? I mean, it's been about time.
Maybe that's the whole announcement.
You mean the X phone, the G phone, the watch, and the earpiece on the invite was just an elaborate troll?
Yes.
Those are all the Lenovo devices.
Shall we move on to some IFA stuff that we have lurking in the show notes here?
Right before we do that, I'd forgotten about this, the T-Mobile thing now on the 10th. Which, by the way, my invite finally just showed up. They're doing another Un-carrier thing. And okay.
You know, I can't help but think that the T-Mobile Un-carrier thing is going to be iPhone 6, iPhone 6, iPhone 6.
You kind of have to wonder because of the proximity to.
And it's not an event. It's at a store in downtown San Francisco.
And they'd be crazy not to. They, you know,
right.
John Ledger is a savvy businessman. He knows that the iPhone 6 is going to be huge for every carrier, and it's going to be an opportunity for them to position them their carrier as the best network to have the iPhone on, whether that's through, you know, the network itself, the prices, the service, whatever. We'll have to see what they do.
Yep, they're going to say, look what we can do with iPhone 6 that, you know, Apple just talked about yesterday. Everybody's already here. Come on up, you know, make the drive up or whatever and check it out.
Yeah, I'm thinking they may even have some there to go look at, you know, for the general public to stop in and see units, which would be huge for both Apple and T-Mobile, and dumb not to if they can do it.
Yeah, tell you what, while we're talking about the iPhone, and I'm not forgetting the Q&A. I see you guys over there. I'm sorry, we're just kind of on a roll. iPhone event on the 9th. I mean, two sizes of iPhones, I think that's a bigger deal than I think we realize, because that gives people more choice over oversized, which has always been an advantage of Android because there are just so many phones. But what do you think about the revelation this week that NFC might finally happen? And I was talking to Renee Ritchie about it earlier, and you know, he's saying, look, you know, I mean, Apple's been prepped to do NFC before. It's just never happened for whatever reason. And now they're finally going to do it. And I know we've said a long time ago that it's going to take somebody like Apple to really convince businesses, and it's not that we don't have NFC out there, but to really push it and really give it a chance. Do you guys think it's finally going to happen now?
Maybe, because iBeacon's failed. I think the reason that we didn't see NFC before is that they wanted to position iBeacons to be able to do all that stuff, and it could have. It just didn't take, and I said failed, I'm sorry. It didn't take off as big as it could have taken off. So if they introduce NFC as well to work in conjunction with iBeacon, they once again have a phone that can do everything.
I think that it's kind of a misnomer to think that just because they include NFC, the technology in the phone, that it'll automatically, you know, you're not going to be Android beaming pictures between Android and your iPhone 6. You're not going to be necessarily using Google Wallet at the same exact terminals in CVS that have been turned on for Apple, you know, Passbook Wallet, you know, whatever they want to call it. I mean, it's just a technology, just like, you know, just like the iBeacon thing. They're using Bluetooth, but that's, you know, something that's they're doing that's completely separate from what you do with Bluetooth on an Android phone. And, you know, just because they have the radio in there doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to turn into this unified, you know, NFC is now going to rule mobile payments and it's going to be everywhere.
Well, yeah, what I think Andrew's trying to get at is the fact that Apple doesn't just put technology in phones for the hell of it. They don't do what Google does and just say, right, here's NFC and a Nexus, have at it. They're going to have a plan as to what they want to do with this. And it's going to involve first-party services and probably a bunch of stuff we can't even think of right now.
You know, I always, there's two sides of me. Apple is not going to do anything they can't make a lot of money at and look good while they're doing it. The other side of me says that outside of the United States, mobile payments are a real thing. Credit card companies are moving towards credit cards with electronic chips. This is the future. And if Apple wants to sell more phones in China and in Eastern Europe and in parts of Western Europe where mobile payments are going to be big,
Or even in Canada, where it's already dramatically, you know, more widely used than the U.S.
But maybe Apple wants to get ahead of the game for once and not say, well, you've been able to do this on Android, but we didn't like the way you did it, so we took the time, and now you can do it the right way, and here it is 2 years later. Maybe they want to jump out ahead and say, you know, Android tried and they couldn't get it right, regardless of why. Here's our take on it, and we think it's going to work. Boom. And it just works.
Yeah, so, I don't think you're going to see a switch in the software that's labeled NFC and look at all this cool stuff. You're not going to see the stupid NFC status bar icon or anything like that. It's going to be this feature or set of features that happens to use NFC where, you know, oh, now you can just tap your phone to this speaker and it'll pair. It's not going to say, you know, they're not going to make a big deal out of NFC. It's going to be what it does.
It's going to have to work with everybody, though, right?
No, it doesn't have to work with Apple. look, they don't even use the same connector as the rest of the world and required by many places in Europe. They do what they want and can make money doing it. Why should they change?
They love the made for iPhone program. I don't think there's any reason to think that their NFC things that work with NFC on their platform will necessarily be universal.
This could end very badly.
Yeah.
Or it could just not happen at all.
Or it could not happen at all.
And it could come back to bite them.
All right. Well, let's not go down too far that road. But all right, I want to jump into the Q&A and then get back to Alex's IFA stuff. I'm going to screw this name up. I'm going to try Kapil. Hopefully I got that right. With Android TV becoming a thing, do you think the next Nexus should have an IR blaster? I'm going to say no.
No, because if you look at the way they're doing remote controls through Android TV, you don't need IR to do that.
IR is the clunky way to do it.
Yeah,
it's all IP-based, and there's probably IR blasters that'll plug into the back of the Android TV units if you have to have them.
We don't have any standard way to do IR in L, do we? Because that's the only reason it'll be in a Nexus.
Don't think so. If there are new APIs for IR receive and send, then yeah, that tells us it will be in the next Nexus. But I don't recall hearing about anything new there.
And you wouldn't expect it, given it goes contrary to their whole TV strategy.
It's kind of would only be a bridge feature for going back to other legacy devices, whereas Android TV is a little more forward-looking than that.
I'll tell you what, though, I'd like to see it. HTC and Samsung, I've had phones that have it, and it just didn't ever work right with my equipment. But this G3, it works with everything. And now I can sit here and push buttons and turn stuff on and off in the room without getting up and finding the other remote. I think that's cool. And I would like to see it, even if I won't.
Blair asks, hey, you guys change phones a lot. How do you move your data, especially app data, from one phone to the next? For me, it depends on the apps. And actually, most everything, in fact, every app I use on the phone thinks it's cloud sync, not a problem. The only apps I ever have that don't are games. And that goes back to what Jerry wrote last weekend, the weekend before.
Something like that.
About game developers just refusing to, and some of them refusing to do it properly. My thing about that was, what's their incentive? If your business model is based around somebody playing your game over and over and spending more and more money in it, what's your incentive to sync their data other than doing the right thing?
Well, if it's a game without in-app purchases, they have an incentive just to do right by their customers.
No, Phil's right. They have no incentive to do right by their customers. They have incentive to make you use their app for more hours. He's absolutely right.
Well, but if it's a paid game with no in-app purchases or ads, then what's the matter?
Being lazy, yeah.
The other side of the argument is that if you're playing across multiple devices, you have no incentive to install the app on a second device because all your stuff isn't there.
Right.
So.
And if you get so frustrated that you never play through the game, you're probably not going to buy their second game or their third game or anything like that.
My favorite game is Knights of Pen and Paper. And on the original Nexus 7, I installed it. And, I mean, I played it and got really into it and got really far into the game. I've never had a chance to get that far again because it, invariably, if I start getting somewhere, I change. Tablet, phone, I change, or I've got to wipe my Nexus 7 and install a factory image or something. And if that stuff was in the cloud, it would be on every phone I have here. And anytime I'm sitting waiting for my wife to buy something or in the parking lot, I'd be playing with it. But they have taken that away from me because they don't have it.
I was talking a lot about Skyforce, that little top-down airplane sort of shooter game that I've been playing nonstop. You can restore your purchases, but I don't think it restores your data all the way, right? So I'm going to be able to get all these upgrades back. I hope every upgrade, because actually it will give you like 5,000 extra whatever coins, points, for a dollar, for 99 cents. Do I get all those back? But I'm still going to have to go through the game again as well. So I picked the wrong game to start playing on the Nexus 7 right now, didn't I? Especially as we're waiting for a new tablet.
I want to say, too, that maybe it's not as easy as we think. I have not looked into how that gets implemented. It's not as easy as checking a box when you upload your app, I'm sure. There's got to be ways to handle that data, to send it off, to get it back, and what to do with it once you have it. And just because somebody from Google stands up on a stage and says, it's easy for developers to use our APIs, that doesn't mean anything. What's easy to Google is not easy to the rest of the world. So maybe they deserve a break.
But as far as non-games go, I've run into too many issues trying to, batch, freeze and restore apps, and it causes way too many issues. The phones store data in different places, and it's just not meant to just pick up an APK and its data and move it to a different phone and install it. So I'll let the Play Store install them and then go from there.
I used to use Titanium Backup back in the day when I was using ROMs and stuff, but now, all right, let me look. Pull up the phone here, and a lot of it comes down to the apps you use, right? Google Plus is cloud, Facebook cloud, Instagram cloud, Twitter cloud. I mean, so many of these are cloud-based anyway. Google Play Music, YouTube, Nest, Sonos, all cloud-based. The Delta app that I use for travel, all cloud-based. TripIt, Uber. Just everything I use on a daily basis on a phone is cloud-based, the way it should be.
The only thing that gets annoying is resetting up settings and things like that. Mm-hmm. Which I've noticed that Gmail has done a better job about restoring Gmail settings, actually. Actually turn on all the label settings and the sync settings and everything.
There's a guy a couple doors down from me, just bought a Galaxy S5, and he's still setting it up and still trying to get all his contacts in there. And I get that not everybody uses Gmail, but, how can you not? if you were going to ask me, what's the one thing to tell somebody who's going to use an Android device, it would be use, whether it's Exchange or Gmail, whatever, use something that syncs your email, your contacts and your emails to one place, and that's it.
Should be the one thing you don't have to worry about, whether, you're going to have your phone numbers and email addresses.
That's the only way I could ever switch phones like this. Even if Google Voice were to go away, tomorrow, that would be a huge pain, but not as big a pain as if I didn't, I just sign into my Google account and it's just all there. And it's all there very quickly, actually. In fact, a lot faster than it used to be.
That's a scary thought if we had to export all our contacts and re-import them every
time. Export them to the SIM card, Jerry.
No, sync via Palm Desktop.
Yeah. iOPPLES.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, the infrared one where you have to point it just right.
I've got one in my box down there. The very first whatever I ever bought. I had one. I never used it. I got one from my wife. She used it all the time. Go figure. That was a very good question, Blair. Muck wants to know, when do you guys think we're going to get Android L? I'm saying end of October, early November.
Yep.
Just like always.
Just like the last few years.
Pablo says, hey guys, congrats on show 200. Hope many more to come. My question is, do you think Android would be as big as it is today? I don't think I properly comprehend just how big it is. I'll freely admit that.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I thought it would just be a little blip like everything else in it. I didn't care. I was fascinated because it's the first real smartphone operating system that runs off the Linux kernel that's accessible. And I was going to be all into it regardless. But if you ask me in 2009 when I bought the G1, if it was going to be what it is today, I would have told you, heck no. I never would have thought this.
I think there are probably few of us outside Google who can truly appreciate just how big it is. Like outside of the people who actively build and manage this stuff. When you look at the sheer number of devices and the number of, maybe the carriers understand it.
But I had a teacher way back when, yes, we had teachers back then, that tried to explain to us how to visualize a billion. If you get on the internet and you look for the Vietnam Peace Rally on the National Mall in Washington in the 70s, it's almost a million people on the National Mall. You look at that picture, a big full-res version of it, And then imagine that times 100.
Mm-hmm.
That's a billion, and that's a number that we just can't visualize. Or excuse me, that's 1,000.
Yeah. 100. Whole lot is what it is. Kapil, I hope I'm saying that right. Wants to know, will Tegra K1 ever be used in a phone? If not, why?
Nope.
No, not in its current incarnation in any way. Too much heat, too much power draw.
No modem. No on die.
And well, current configuration now.
You can work around no modem. You can't work around how much juice the thing uses.
The fact that you would need a gigantic heat sink just to mean it, make it not melt your phone.
Yeah, your phone would be like an inch thick.
I'll tell you, look back to the LG G2 Mini that was supposed to come out with the Tegra 4 mm-hmm. and the Icera motor.
Yeah.
That died right before its day it was going to get released. And
that was a special one made with the modem to be in phones, and it still had problems.
Yep.
Blair says, Phil, you obviously got your wife to say yes to the beard. It's looking good. Actually, I think she likes it more than I do. Though I do appreciate everyone who tweeted her, Snickinson, with a hashtag Philbeard. It was awesome. Keep it up. Continue.
Makes you look very distinguished.
Makes me look old, which I'm fine with. I'm all right. I think I'm all right. All right, Ryan wants to know straight up, G-Watch R, which he's calling the G-Watcher. We've been calling it Guar internally, right? Which I like.
That's a couple people say that.
Or the Moto 360. Jerry?
360, I need that light sensor.
Alex?
Same, light sensor 360.
Andrew?
Same, assuming that it actually does have a light sensor.
It does.
Yeah, I'm going to say 360, but for aesthetics. We'll see. I'll get a G-Watcher, a Guar. And we'll see.
I say that. I like to buy watches. I'll probably get one, too.
Yeah. It's just what was the price? $250.
People are saying $299.
$299 for that one. No, it was $299. No, it was €299 euros. What is that US?
Well, that'll be $299 in the US.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Okay, they're pretty close.
It would be $400 US, by the way.
Yeah, that's not correct. It would end up being $299 US ish.
That's a lot of money.
One day they're going to get that fixed, and Alex won't have to sell blood to buy watches. And
hey, it's not our fault. Europe's fault.
So shall we run through just other stuff that we are expecting at IFA?
Yes.
Some stuff on the list here.
Yes.
So Qualcomm teases reveal of a 64-bit quad Snapdragon multi-core thing, which HTC has also been teasing through its Chinese social media accounts. And I think the rumor was this was going to be a Snapdragon 615, which is a higher end 64-bit, still using the A53s, but a slightly higher end device using these new cores. It's going to be interesting to see where it actually fits in the lineup for HTC, because they already have the mid-range stuff covered pretty well by the Desire series. They have the M8, the M8 Mini. Maybe there's room below the M8 for some kind of premium mid-range thing that isn't a Desire 816. And if you look at the teaser, it does look kind of almost a little bit metallic, maybe, if you look at it the right way. So I don't know. I think that's going to be interesting to see what they do there, because nothing, as far as I'm aware, has really leaked out about what this thing is.
I'm worried. All this year so far, Qualcomm has been telling us that we'll see 64-bit processors by manufacturers in phones in early 2015. Is August the time to show us a phone that they can't sell until February?
Well, no. The thing that isn't ready until next year is the 808 and the 810. The 615 supposedly is sampling right now, so we'll have to see if that makes its way in there.
But even sampling right now, then you add engineering and manufacturing, I don't think we're going to see these phones before Christmas. And that in the past has always been an issue with Android OEMs, and I don't want to go back into that.
I mean, if HTC's teasing it now, you've got to imagine that at most it's a couple of months out.
I hope.
But again, we'll see. The other thing we have, Sony, we're expecting a bunch of devices, Xperia Z3, which looks like a relatively minor refresh. We also have a Z3 Compact, it looks like, which hopefully is a very good thing, because the Z1 Compact was a really nice phone, but had some issues. The back was kind of plasticky and horrible. So if they use the updated design language like it looks like they are, that could be quite an interesting phone.
Wasn't there also a Z3 Tablet Compact or something, a smaller tablet?
There's a Z3 Tablet Compact, but there's been nothing about any Z3 Tablet, which is kind of weird. I mean, there could well be, but again, maybe they decided that the market is bigger for small form factor tablets, although yeah, we're sort of edging more towards 8 and 9 inch tablets now as phones are getting bigger. But that could be interesting. Sony's always done a nice job with the tablets. They've always been very, very thin, very light. They've brought the right waterproofing to it as well. So you imagine that in maybe an 8 or not, a 7 or 8 inch sort of version might be quite interesting. Again, we'll have to wait and see. And I think people are basing this off the invite for their event on the third, but we're possibly looking at new camera orb things as well, new lens cameras, which again would be interesting. Sony's big on cameras as well as phones.
Those lens camera things, I'd really be interested in knowing how many they actually sold of those.
Probably not a whole lot, but the idea is still quite interesting, and they didn't get it right the first time.
Right.
The experience was clunky on the software side. If they can get that better, and if they can maybe do some sort of subtle improvements with the optics at the same time, that's going to be, you know, a more compelling product than they had a year ago.
Mm-hmm. I used one for a while, and the pictures were lovely. It took pictures just as well as a good Sony point-and-shoot camera does, but Alex hit it on the head. The software, the interface is horrible. Another thing, you know, unless I had a certain phone that I couldn't buy in the United States, there was no cover with a button and a, you know, a permanent attachment point to my phone. I had to just use the spring clips. There's a lot of room for improvement, and I hope they make big improvements.
And we'll have to see what improves the Sony strategy with getting devices out in the US as well. There are rumors that SoftBank and by association Sprint is going to be getting the Z3 or at least one of the Z3s. That's an area they've struggled with in the past, in part because they've insisted on releasing phones every 6 months. And we all know the US carriers, they like you to have one phone a year.
Yeah, and only T-Mobile's got on board with that, and only a little bit.
Yeah, they still have Z. Go ahead.
Say, to be fair, it's because all these quad band or pentaband unlocked Sony phones don't have LTE band 7.
But they do. The Z
ones they sell here in the States.
The Z2 they sell in the States is the exact same SKU that they sell internationally. It supports AT&T, supports T-Mobile. It took them 3 months to get it to the States, selling it unlocked.
Supporting AT&T and having band 7 where 80% of their network is two different things. I almost bought a Z1 Compact because it supported AT&T, and it supports AT&T LTE in like 9 cities. The rest of the country uses band 7, and it's not there.
Hmm.
That's just check something.
Bands. I'm sure they said they had band 7. Yeah, band 7, Z1 Compact. I'm going to have to look on the internet to find out. I'm sure.
Talk about bands and frequencies. I'm right there with you again.
They're not focusing on selling unlocked here in the States yet. That's got to be on their radar because they're starting to, but they're not making a big push for it yet.
It's on their radar, but it's kind of a side business, isn't it? They bring it out when they can, but it's not a priority for them in terms of the markets where they sell stuff.
I've always liked Sony phones. I had bad luck with one of them, but that was because of an odd LED light placement. But the ones that I really, really like, they just aren't offered easily here in the States until I don't want them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at frequencies and stuff here.
Did I see some today that Sprint's supposedly getting some of the new ones?
Yeah, Sprint supposedly is getting one of the Z3s. And yeah, like I said, they could have supported, they could have brought out, had the carriers wanted it, the Z2 on T-Mobile and AT&T. It has, the one they sell internationally has band 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 8, 13, 17, and 20.
Okay.
So for whatever reason, they didn't. But
what else? What else?
What else? So we have a Zen watch from Asus. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, this is more of an entry level, budgety kind of watch.
They're talking about €149
I think they're talking about. I think they'll talk about $100 somewhere around that point.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I heard. $100 is their goal target.
ASUS can do it.
Sure they can, and it may not be a luxurious feeling timepiece for $100.
Well, geez, neither is the original Pebble.
But it's a great way to experience Android Wear. If you just got to have one to see how it works, but you want to wait until maybe Christmas time gets closer and you see what other companies are going to bring, that might be a neat way to spend $100 to play with it for a few months. That, you know, that's the way I'm thinking, is if I didn't have one right now, I would buy this one.
Maybe. But again, we don't know a whole lot about that besides the fact that it's coming at IFA on the 3rd, I believe.
And?
We have new stuff from Arcos, so phones and tablets.
And?
I'm reading off the script. I don't know. What else do we have?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was something you wanted me to mention. That
No.
I'm reading the script that you wrote, Phil.
Yeah.
There's a little nerdy voice in my head that has put some clues together and says everybody should pay attention to Toshiba. Just on the odd chance they release something Android TV related, they've got some new product boards for developers they've worked on and released, and everything is there. They could unveil a new ADT prototype, you know, high-end developer board, which would mean good things for Android TV development. Maybe not so much on the consumer side. I'm trying to think of anything else that I
think it's worth spending a couple minutes on the Android News and Weather app, which actually got a weird redesign this week. It's like, Jerry, you were there at I.O. Do you specifically remember the Googlers saying, here's this material design thing, it's awesome, and by the way, we're actually going to use it because we've had a habit of not following our own rules?
Yep.
Did you kind of notice what happened with this News and Weather app?
Yep.
Kind of material design-ish, but not really. Not
maybe like a third of the way there.
It is. It's the perfect complement to the almost material design Google Plus.
Yeah.
Almost material design apps that aren't really material design, even though they promised they wouldn't do that anymore and the apps would all follow the same UI guidelines. But what can you do?
It's a nice app.
I guess. I'm not crazy about it. I mean, it's basically an aggregator now instead of an actual app. When you go to open a story, it opens it up. You know,
Mean, nobody went to the old News and Weather app for hard-hitting news and custom feeds and all this stuff that you can do and play Newsstand or any other news app. It's a default News and Weather app. Yeah. I don't know how much you can expect from it. From that point of view, I think it's a nice app.
It's better than nothing, put it that way.
I don't know. I was thinking that the more likely route would be for them to just discontinue it, right? It hasn't been updated in, 3 years now? To see them doing anything at all with it besides just killing it off is kind of surprising.
Take those people and put them to work on the Google Voice app. There's nothing there that's not duplicated in Google Now and Google Play Newsstand. So I was puzzled when the update came out. I couldn't think of why. But apparently there's a reason. There must be people out there that like it. Phil and Andrew say it's a nicely done app. I didn't even use it long enough to see how well it's done.
I mean, I can agree that it doesn't make sense for it to exist, but you know, for what it is, it works completely fine.
Is it AOSP app?
I think the old News and Weather was, wasn't it?
Maybe there's your answer. Google Now is not AOSP. Google Play Newsstand is not AOSP. Google News and Weather has traditionally been AOSP. Phil just answered all of our questions. It's the beard. It gives him knowledge.
Let's see. A couple more Q&As. We'll call it a 200th show.
Sounds good.
Let me go down to the bottom. So many questions. I'm sorry, guys.
I'll start scrolling too.
Yes.
Paul writes, has Apple already missed the boat on watches?
No.
I would say I'm not sure the watch boat has even arrived yet.
Apple is still building the boat on watches, no matter how much you don't like to hear that.
There you go.
And, you know, Apple's not involved in any of the watches that are out now, so right. Other than the Pebble.
Apple will make something that looks pretty, and a watch needs to look pretty to sell.
Yep.
Chris says, not a question, just congrats on the 200 episodes, and thanks. I'm literally an Android user since the Nexus 1 because of Phil. I wasn't just looking for the one with my name on it. It just happened to be there. So many questions.
Paul has an interesting idea here. How about a personalized watch design the same as the Moto X had Moto Maker?
I don't think they're going to move enough product to even begin to do something like that.
Yeah.
It seems like they've kind of shied away from Moto Maker a bit.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been making much money on that.
Well, I
mean, different colors, different colors, different straps on the 360, sure. I mean, that's easy enough to do. As easy as having a few different SKUs for the watch face and just different bands that you sell people. That's probably the easy way to do customization. I doubt they'll have a full-fledged motor maker for the 360.
I want the wood Moto 360. Hear it.
John has a very good comment here, as soon as I find it, because I just lost it again. Damn it, you guys are quick. There it is. John asks, did I miss who won the M8 competition?
Ah,
thank you for reminding me, because I did totally forget. So, we were giving away the HTC One M8 Funk Studio Edition. If you haven't seen how we did it, we had 10 finalists out of all the ones that were submitted to the forums. Again, that sort of contest is not fair. They will never be fair. just too many entries to put them all up to a vote. So Andrew, actually, I'm going to blame him. Oh, you can't see him. I'm pointing.
There you go. Go ahead and toss the blame on me.
Yes, I made Andrew pick the finalists. So if you're pissed off, be pissed off at him and me because I told him to do it.
And then every single person who voted on their own, you know, on their own accord.
And look, there were so many good choices out there. Like, and I thought the 10 that made finalists were great. I thought there were 30 other great ones. There's just no good way to do that in the way we did it.
Yeah.
But we have had quite a number of votes. Wow. Should we see one? Is it time to find out?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we have a tie.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, crap. What do we do?
That is a very good question.
Do you do a runoff of those two?
I think we cut the phone in half and send it to both people.
Thank you, Solomon.
Yeah, you have a band so handy.
I don't know if I can open the poll back up. I said close. I don't know if it's closed.
I mean, wow. Do you reopen it with the two tied ones?
Oh, I was not prepared for this.
Wow, we're getting off the rails here.
Let me open the poll and find if I can still vote. Let's see. Wow. Somebody sing a song or something while I'm looking at this. Oh, it says poll closed. All right, that could be a problem. Poll do a runoff?
I think that's what you do. Is there a third place that's anywhere close, or is it just those two exactly?
Those two were exact.
Wow.
I have two that are exact at 15.19% with the exact same number of votes. I have...
Oh, so that means it's a relatively flat scale, too, which is
there good. Were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there were 6 that came really close. I mean, relatively close, and then 4 that had half as many votes. What do you guys think we should do? We'll just decide it right now live.
I say you do a runoff of the top two, those two tied.
Top two or the top 6 in all?
Well, those two were ahead. Yeah,
but let's do top two.
Are we inviting a world of hurt here?
Yes. Just pick one, Bill.
Should we just flip for it?
Hey, that's a good idea.
All right. I have some coins in here. We're going to do it live. right here, though you won't really be able to see me do it too well. Let me pull that back up. All right. I have here a standard issue quarter. Should heads be number one, or should heads be number two?
One.
One? All right. Heads is one. Tails is two. I'm going to try to do this in a way that you can, like, see me catch it. And no shenanigans. No shenanigans. Let me see. It is tails. You see that?
Yeah.
That's tails. That's what was facing up. That's heads. Tails wins. And I tell you what.
Boom.
Since I'm a nice guy, we'll make the other one. We'll find something for the other one. We'll make it worth your while.
There you go.
How about that? Because I'm a nice guy. So, number 10. I have no idea how to pronounce this. Archon Nair. Number 10.
They know who they are.
They know who they are. You have won, Johnny Axe. You tied. Remember, this is all you guys out there voting on it. So you tied, but we will send you something nice as well. So stay tuned. Congrats. That was a fun contest. Thank you to HTC for ponying that up. That was very cool. Number one out of 64. So that's pretty awesome.
Huge. Congrats, yeah.
Very cool.
And that wasn't my pick, but that is a very nicely done little design. Somebody did a lot of work there.
All right, what was your pick? Now that it's over, I don't mind.
You sure you want me to say what my pick was?
Do you not want to?
Well, give it 3 seconds of dead air so you can edit it out. The dick butt one.
Oh, that one was
That was incredible.
Sorry, I didn't put that in the 10 finalist pile there for you.
The mods in the forums left it, and good on them.
No, they should have, yeah. No, I meant of the finalists. I really like the one of the Lloyd guy in the tree.
In the tree, yes. Yeah. That was the one I voted for.
Which, you know, call me biased because of what it is. I thought they were all really good. Like, and what's really cool is this is all stuff that I can't do.
Yeah.
Like I have no artistic talent like that.
I appreciated that one for being, you know, printed out and drawn on. And,
yeah, that was pretty
taking
cool.
a picture of
it. Yeah, it was interesting to see the different ways people did it too.
Mm-hmm. I also liked number two, that blue and, mm-hmm. and light red and tan design, that checkerboard. That I don't know. I just if I was gonna buy one, I think that would be the one I'd buy. Because I don't know if I'd want to spend, you know, $500, $600 on a phone with a picture on the back that I might get tired of. But that one and the Lloyd and the tree, I was very torn, and I ended up voting for Lloyd and the tree because he's Lloyd.
Can't go wrong with that. Although, apparently we did. So congrats to you guys. I'm sorry only one person could win. And the two who tied, we will take care of both of you. So awesome. And with that, I think it's time to stick a fork in it. Episode 200 in the books.
Who would have thought I've been here that long without getting fired?
Do you remember what the first one was that you were on, Jerry?
No, I don't.
I'd be curious to find that.
I haven't any idea either. Mine wasn't as long ago as Jerry's was.
I remember my favorite one.
What was that?
You and I just screaming at Mickey to root his phone.
We did that every week, didn't we?
But the first time we did it, we just harassed him for 20 minutes without stopping.
Oh, man. All right, well, if you want, email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. We did get a nice one from Benny saying thanks for the 200 episodes. And he asked a question about Android, but I'm tired, guys. I pulled it up now. Actually, he brings up a good point about suddenly these insanely detailed displays and fonts make a tad more sense, especially when you're looking at Asian languages and all the strokes it takes. Yes, completely agree.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely in the cards.
It's a big deal.
Oh, well, as we are every week, we are brought to you by, well, actually, we're kind of changing names. So enjoy shopandroid.com for the near future. but we're bringing it back under the roof, and it's all just going to be Android Central. So we're brought to you by them and us. Call 888-468-6158 or go to, for now, shopandroid.com.
As you said, Alex will handpick all of your things off of the shelves.
Oh, we should totally do that. That would be cool, actually.
Via the Royal Post.
That would be interesting. What, you know, if you give Alex $50, what will he buy you?
Personal shopper.
You wait. I'm going to suggest it.
We have a contest lined up there, I think.
Mm.
You can get us on Google Plus and Twitter and Instagram. Follow AC on Instagram, Android Central. Just because we're having fun with that. I know the guys are cringing hearing me talk about it because right now it's mostly been me doing it. So, hey, guess what, guys? I didn't forget.
Well, we got a big week coming up next week.
Yes,
we'll put some stuff on there.
Yes. So that's it. Next week, I think right now the plan is, Alex and I were trying to figure it out today, we will probably not do a live show next week. It will be audio only, so we'll just record it when we can since we're on the road. So stay tuned. Maybe it'll be out Thursday. Maybe it'll be out Friday. We'll see. But probably no live show next week. If there is, I will let you know. I'll let you know one way or the other. We'll do a reminder. So with that, Alex, Andrew, Jerry, Mickey, Richard, Russell, JR. I'm trying to think of anyone we've ever had on the show. Got to be some others.
Ashley.
I tried to get Ashley to do one of the 200s in the trailer video. Who else? I know I'm forgetting people. So anyone who's ever helped us with this show, thank you. We're going to keep on doing it because it's fun. Thank you, everybody watching live, listening later. You are awesome. You are the reason we do this week after week. Maybe we'll take a week off again sometime. Maybe we won't. We'll see. But we will bring you something next week from IFA and Motorola. Just don't quite know when it'll be out yet, and it probably won't be live, so stay tuned, but we will discuss all the things. Jerry, Andrew, Alex, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil.
And we'll see you next week. You guys aren't going to say bye?
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll feed the same.
Nothing changes.
I do.